Blog Talk Radio.
The Atahewakan, sacred wind, you are like the great mystery, moving in all places, in all people, in all things. You cannot be seen, yet we feel your presence and see your power in the dancing prairie grass and the flight of the eagle. Whisper to our spirits. Help us to find wisdom once again. We are made of earth, fire, water, wind. We share one earth, one sun, and one moon. Let us live together as one people. Help us, great mystery, to mend the sacred hoop, to heal our brokenness, and to find once more our place in the web of life.
Welcome to Messages of Light. I'm your host, Amanda, every Monday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. Today we have Barbie from Ohio, and she's going to talk to us about some great stuff. Our call-in number is 347-237-5339. Hit one on the keypad, and we'll take your calls. I wanted to announce Bridget Weibarger at Stages Wellness Holistic Center. She is a great chiropractor, so you can check her out at 325 East Main Street at Stages Wellness Holistic Center. And Danielle, she's a great massage therapist down there. And I'd like to feature Java Zen Coffee. It's a wonderful superfood coffee that blends together and keeps you awake. It's wonderful. Check out javazen.co. So with that, we're going to bring our person on live now, Barbie, and see how she's doing today. Welcome to the show, Barbie. How are you today?
Well, thank you for having me. I'm doing great today.
That's great. It's good to have you on.
I'm really excited. I haven't been on a live show, I don't think, for a very, very long time. And I'm really excited to see that everyone is kind of reconnecting after the past few years of things that were happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, wonderful. You want to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. Thank you. So my name is Barb Pichano, and I am a nurse by trade, meaning that most of my career was in nursing. I spent 25 years at the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, Ohio. And the last 8 of those years, I was the director of healing services in Code Lavender under the Office of Patient Experience. And what had happened was, during my career as nursing, I started taking courses for myself, for self-care, which led me to become a holistic nurse. And I met Amanda in our Level 4 Healing Test course, which was in Pennsylvania.
Yes, you did. That was amazing. That was fun.
Yeah, we had a really good time. We connected really well immediately and have been connected ever since. And since I left Cleveland Clinic in 2018, I was teaching aromatherapy certification for Natural Options Aromatherapy. And then in July of this year, I opened my own business. And so now I am actually based out of St. Augustine, Florida, and I offer a new company called Integrated Success Solutions, where I'm focusing on 2 things. First of all, I've continued the aromatherapy school because they were closing theirs, and so I decided to take it up and become accredited through NAHA and become a government vendor. And so I'm teaching aromatherapy certification, Level 1 and Level 2, and also continuing education for aromatherapists. Most of my focus is in healthcare, but I teach anyone at any level. The other focus that I have is healing our healthcare system and the other corporations that are similarly affected by mass amount of lack of compassion and burnout. And so I'm on a quest to get in front of as many people as possible to talk about how we can do that and heal from within our institutions, our corporations, our healthcare organizations, and within ourselves. So that's what I've been up to.
That's awesome. How exciting is that? Healing ourselves to, you know, holistically make a difference. What a great goal. And
it's
aromatherapy, that's amazing. Yep.
Well, the aromatherapy piece, I think that, you know, it started off as an administrator in the hospital, I had to really think about safety and how do we do this. And we were kind of new. It was new in healthcare settings back in 2008. And bringing in aromatherapy in a safe way was a great start. Now, hundreds of institutions, like hospitals and healthcare settings, along with the rest of us, use aromatherapy pretty liberally. And it's good to have some kind of foundational training. I think that we all know a little bit about it. It's just nice to know a lot more. And that way we can help other people.
I love that. I think that having aromatherapy is really necessary. I know when I picked up essential oils, I could tell the difference between a really holistic oil and a not so holistic oil. So that's pretty amazing. And it's intuitive too. And, you know, the practice that you have, you know, knowing the healing touch and all that, you're very aware and intuitive.
Yeah. It's,
so I think that's huge.
Being alone a lot. I think that a lot of people have gone through the same thing. I went from being in a large, like, million square foot campus with thousands of people every day to working by myself from home and doing a lot of online work. And I think that you really have to get out and experience energy, the earth, being outside. That was part of the reason why we moved to Florida, is because we wanted to be outside more often and connect with nature more often. than, you know, being cold in Ohio. So we didn't love being out in the cold. And so I believe that being isolated a little bit helped me refocus, but it also makes it blaringly clear how much you need to stay connected with energy, with your thoughts. And intuitiveness is often, a lot of it is wisdom, either wisdom from now that we've experienced here and now, or wisdom that we've been granted through time, basically, and other experiences.
That's huge. Yeah, we've been through quite huge shifts, so I can see where you're saying it's important to keep your thoughts and your energy, you know, where it needs to be. And outdoors, you know, connection with Mother Earth is a huge, huge thing. So that's really wonderful that you apply that too.
I really think it's important. My husband and I traveled to Florida a lot before the pandemic and all that. And, you know, we just came down as much as we possibly could because my husband, who is not into any of the healing art most of his life, was introduced by me to the healing art.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got to experience what the ocean really can do for you, or what the sunshine can really do for you, or what being around like-minded people can really do for you. And he was not someone who was easily convinced. He had to experience it. And now it's just this, it's part of our everyday life. And you can find that however you want, wherever you are. It just happened to be very important for us to be near the ocean. We go to
right.
the ocean, and sometimes we don't even get out of the car. We just sit there and watch the ocean, and it just, it's something different to everyone, I guess. But for me, it really puts things in perspective of how important we are, and also how much bigger it is than us. So really focusing on what we can control, and then, you know, what we can have influence over in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think the ocean is a very important part of grounding and cleansing. It really helps us to cleanse and ground and just be in the moment. You know, I think the salt water for me, it definitely showed me, hey, this cleanses your body and helps you feel great.
Yeah, I agree. I grew up by Lake Erie, you know, so it was water, but it wasn't
mm-hmm.
salt water. And I wasn't as attracted growing up. I wasn't as attracted to the lakes or ponds or things like that as I am to the ocean. There's definitely a difference in the energy. And the salt water, to me, to energy, you know, the energy we get from trees or from grounding, you know, it just has a different feel. So I was in Ohio, I was more attracted to trees than I was to water. So I was a little more earthbound. Now I think I'm a little more waterbound, you know, as far as attraction
mm-hmm.
and what feels good. But I think we all go through that, you know, different stages in our lives.
Yeah, we really do. I think when I came to Florida and learned about the water and all that, it's really cleansing. And even if you just sit next to it, it's like it radiates an energy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And you can see people if you sit and just watch people coming to the ocean. You can see how much they change when they're there. They'll be walking up,
yeah.
you know, maybe dragging their stuff, you know, whatever you think you need. And then
mm-hmm.
and then within 20, 30 minutes, they have a whole different energy about them. And the way they look and the way they walk, it's really amazing.
Yeah, it's an amazing, wonderful shift. So I'm glad that you moved to Florida and that you just had this, you know, realization of working with people and nature and all that, you really see the benefit to people healing.
I do. I feel like people come here or stay here to live their life, live a more full or whole life versus what I grew up with, which may have been, you know, my family or other people around me who at a certain age, they decided to not live life so fully. And mm-hmm. when we were in Florida, we would see so many people living a more full life in their, you know, 70s and 80s and even 90s. And so we said, wow, we don't want to stay where we feel older. We want to go where we feel younger.
Younger.
And I guess mm-hmm. that could be anywhere for anyone if you resonate. You know, when I went out to Santa Fe, New Mexico, I remember I felt different when I was there too. Or the first time we drove from Phoenix to the Grand Canyon, my husband and I, and we were coming around the mountain to get to Sedona, and I watched mm-hmm. him transform. He was driving, but he started laughing and laughing and laughing, and I looked at him and I said, "What are you laughing about?" And he goes, "I don't know." He said, "I don't know. I
wow.
just feel so good." And he's, you know, like I said, he knew nothing about it. He didn't, you know, he's never read about Sedona or the vortex or energy or anything. And we came around that mountain and he pulled off to the side of the road and he says, "I want to take some of this sand or dirt or whatever it is home with me." I mean, it was mm-hmm. totally out of the blue. I had not said a word to him about it. And I'm like, you really shouldn't do that. And he's like, "I don't know. This is really weird. I feel really different." And so you never know where it's going to be that you resonate with.
You don't.
And
yeah.
unless you travel. And I think we grew up with a lot of people who just didn't travel. And so, and he actually drove a truck across country and really never stopped. He never experienced places. And so I think that's kind of the, I guess I'm old enough to say my sage advice is to get out and experience other places, because if you feel stuck, well, then you probably need to move around and see,
yeah,
see what
you probably
other
do need
places
to move
feel
around
like.
And, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know for me,
we
I
don't
like
have
to feel the energy
that.
Out. Right.
Yes.
I like to feel
yes.
the energy out and watch the people transform, you know. I watched a girl transform and she couldn't even see, and she went to, you know, she was blind. But, I mean, that's interesting, too. You watch people's moods, they change, you know, and she was kind of gruff, whatever, and then she went to Florida and boom, she just changed totally. It was quite an experience.
Yeah. It's
you know, just being
it's
kind
magical.
Of in the cold. Yeah, it's kind of like being in the cold and gray. You know, she was kind of down and out. And then when she went into the sunlight, she really transformed. You could see the change in her. So that was quite an experience. But that's what you do when you travel around. And, you know, if I really want to settle somewhere, I like to know, you know, what it feels like, you know, what it's like. That's how you really know you want to settle down somewhere or just experience stuff. And I think it's important to, you know, work with your body and heal and work with the energies. So everything you're saying is making total sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had such a great opportunity to do traveling when I was teaching, which I still will be doing, but lately it's been online. But for 5 years, I traveled all over the country teaching, mostly at hospitals. You know, sometimes you get stuck in a hotel or you have to go building to building. But if you take the time to get out and in a new place, you can really get a feel for the energy there, how you feel there, and figure out, you know, if it's a place for you.
Exactly. See, that's wonderful. I like to watch people transform heal and change. You know, like you see him unmotivated and not doing good, and then it shifts, you know, and they feel so much better. I like to watch people heal. It's quite transforming, you know, and I loved our level four class too, when we could, you know, shift the energies and watch people heal. That was a fun experience.
Yeah, I really was excited. The first year I was doing holistic nursing in the hospital, I was able to see patients as a holistic nurse. So they would call, you know, it was very grassroots. They would call and say, we have this patient. You know, they're not turning the corner, or, you know, they're not doing what they're supposed to do, or, you know, there's just something wrong. And you come see them. And it was funny because almost everybody who wanted to try energy work in the hospital, I started off with a chakra connection, which is level one healing touch, but it was enough. And it was fast enough that you could get it in without being interrupted. And I would often combine it with some music on a headset and ask them if they wanted me to use lavender, like on my hands, the lavender cream, so they could smell it, you know, no application at that time. And so they would get kind of the trifecta. You know, they would get this great music to settle them down, some aromatherapy, and then the chakra connection. And I must have done that thousands of times. And people really were so depleted, it's really all they needed to kind of get reset. It wouldn't take away everything maybe that they were experiencing, but it would help them to get a relaxation response, which was my goal. And
that's
important. It's really quite amazing. People would describe it differently all the time. I had people say, how long did I sleep? And I'd say, well, I mean, I've been sitting here for a few minutes, you know, waiting for you to kind of arouse, you know, open your eyes. And they're like, I feel like I slept for 8 hours. Or I had one lady who was, it was super special. She was very, very sick. And I did some energy work with her, a chakra connection and a pain drain. And she opened her eyes and looked at me and she said, that was like being held by Jesus. And
oh, wow. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, I don't put anything like that on it. You know, like it's totally just energy for their greatest good. And she was just so, so at peace after her session that she was able to feel so much better for a period of time. It was just really great. And when you hear people say things like that, it's just so meaningful for them that it can't possibly not be meaningful for you.
Right. That's beautiful that she felt like she was held by Jesus. I mean, that's wonderful, you know, and when they can have that peace, that's amazing, you know. I know they were testing the pain drain a lot on people. Pain drain is helping them get rid of, you know, the painful things that, like a headache. I know they were saying that they felt so much better and the Tylenol wasn't helping like the healing touch was.
Right, right. A lot of times our mind-body connection is more painful of the experience than the body part. We feel the pain in our body, but sometimes it's not necessarily a physical root cause. And we're doing so much better at researching this now with psychoneuroimmunology and the heart-brain connection and the heart-gut connection, or I'm sorry, the brain-gut connection. It's very much more scientific. In fact, Deborah Rose Wilson, our keynote open speaker for the Holistic Nurse Conference this past year, was really talking a lot about physics. And it was pretty fascinating because, you know, I've been in holistic nursing for quite a while now. I think my first conference was in 2009. And so, you know, we weren't talking about that then. We were talking about energy, but we weren't as specific. And we didn't have as much information that's mainstream, I guess, to talk about because it was still kind of that weird woo-woo stuff that nobody wanted to talk about in healthcare. And so I've seen it evolve in such a wonderful way that we can really tie a lot of what we do to science. And
absolutely.
Not that most of us really all needed that, but, you know, the placebo effect is a real thing, too. If somebody feels better because I talked to them with compassion or that we had an energetic session or an aromatherapy session, who's to say if it's placebo or not? Some things just aren't measurable. But what is measurable is when someone says, I feel better because of that, or I feel better since we did that. And so mm-hmm. that's what's really important now because we have such a crisis going on. Everybody's been affected in some way or another, and a lot of people are carrying around a lot of hurt, maybe guilt. I think there's a lot of survivor's guilt going on in the world because so many people didn't make it through. And other people did, and we don't really talk about it too much, about how significant those feelings might be. So there's a lot we can do to address the feelings that people are having and the fear. I think coming mm-hmm. into November, I think I was a little concerned because I was thinking that there would be a lot of fear going into another flu season. Just that. Not to mention everything else going on in the world. So far, it hasn't been as bad as I thought it might be. At least I haven't felt it where I am. But I think where I am isn't as, as maybe where I came from in the North or in the Midwest. I think sometimes the way people think is a little bit different depending on where they are or who they're around, of course.
You're right about that. Mm-hmm. And I believe that it's the energy that they feel or, you know, I mean, the saying is we're supposed to, you know, the energy is going to shift and we're going to live and feel younger and younger and have more energy and all that. So that's what I tend to, you know, project out there to, you know, our energy is that we feel younger and feel better. And I believe where you are, they definitely feel younger and feel better and feel lighter.
I live in a 55 and over community now. And you have groups of people here where I live. I've been part of I will admit, since I started my business, I haven't been going as much, but I have a group of mostly women who are at least 10 to 20 years older than me, doing deep water aerobics twice a week here. And it mm-hmm. doesn't matter if it's sunny, if it's cold, if it's hot, they show up and they smile and they laugh. And they feel wonderful when they get in the water, just like I do. And it's a positive experience every time, which is pretty amazing to me. There are very few things that you can kind of project or predict.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be positive. No matter when you go or who's there, it's always positive. And because I've been really busy and I've been, you know, it's a weird time of day for me to stop doing what I'm doing. So I have to make a decision to go back. But it's so important to get that.
It is important.
Whatever you do, yeah, even if it's an online group, but this is more physical for me because once I'm in the water, everything changes. You can't check your phone.
Mm-hmm.
You can't look at your email. You only can connect with what's right in front of you. And we don't do that enough. Sure.
Exactly. Self-care is so important. I agree. And when you can be in the water and let it cleanse you, I mean, and that's another taking time out for you. That's making time. And it's wonderful
yeah.
when you can make
yeah.
that time and not check your phone when you can make that time and, you know, talk to people or meditate or what have you, that's really important.
Well, I think to me too, there's wisdom. I guess my backstory on that is, you know, working in a big hospital like I did, every time nurses would retire that I knew for a long time, I would kind of get a little heartbroken for a little while because they were leaving. Not so much that I would never see them again or something like that, but the wisdom was leaving the building. And so I guess it's the same as when you lose a grandparent or an elder, you know, in your family or your life, you lose that wisdom. It's not around you anymore. And so when I go to the pool and I do the class, I feel like I'm surrounded by wisdom. Because here where we live, everybody that lives around us, at least in our street, calls us the teenagers. Because we're not over 55 yet. I'll be 55 this year, but we're not over 55 yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were a little acceptance that got in. So everybody's much more, you know, at least 10 years older than us, if not 20. And so they have such wisdom. And so when I listen to them talk, sometimes it's kind of like music. Their energy is different because they have more to work from because they've been around
Absolutely.
A little longer, or their experiences have been different. Or there's a couple nurses that are retired there that are, you know, the ones that I was a nurse for 50 years, you know, and I'm like, wow, like, what did you do? You know, so you learn so much from people and being around them. And of course,
Absolutely.
I like to help people. So I'm always kind of, I'm not quite settled enough to feel like I can help, but I let people talk to me and, you know, I'll offer up some, you know, some of what I think in a nice way. Like when I first started, the one gal that was a leader, she had just gotten a knee replacement. And she was like, kept saying, my bad knee this and my bad knee that. And I said to her one day, I said, hey, you know what? I said, you know, when I'm coaching someone, I often give them a little upgrade according to my training on their language. And if I was to upgrade that, I would say my healing knee.
There you go.
And she was,
yeah, it's
she was
all
really,
in what you
was,
say.
Yeah, it's what you say to yourself. And so she was skeptical, you know, and then she came back the next day and she goes, you know, I feel a lot better now. My knee feels better, and I just keep calling it my healing knee. And I said, well, that's great, you know. And she almost made fun of it in a way because it was so different for her. But, you know, it's just that one little thing. And, it's, of course, she talked to, like, 20 people about it because she said I was calling it my bad knee, but now I'm calling it my healing knee because of Barbie, you know? And so,
well,
so that's
it,
a little
again,
tiny
it's
thing.
What you can, it's what you manifest. It's what you put out there. If you say, oh, my bad knee, you know, you're right. You know, it's the coaching on what you're saying. You're so right. And if you're not saying your bad knee and you say your healing knee, that's a little bit better. You know, that's just an example of the many things we could say to ourselves or about ourselves. You know, we can learn
Absolutely.
To manifest what we need instead of saying, oh, it's bad. We can say, well, it's better. You know, and a lot of it is language. You're absolutely right.
Well, your body's listening. And in healing touch, I go back to healing touch always because, like, my foundation, I believe it was Deb Reese, you know, my first instructor, who I'm actually still in touch with these days because she does aromatherapy and holistic nursing. But just the message I remember in level one, which was kind of life-changing, was energy follows thought.
It does.
So we create it. Whatever it is, we create it. And that's, you know, a learning a few years that we can create whatever we want to, you know, how we feel or how our body feels. And it's not easy. You have to practice. I think my biggest line on that, you know, that I tell myself too, is it's about making a decision. A lot of people say, well, I'm trying this, or I'm trying to do that, or I'm trying to do more of this.
Well,
that's,
you know, you,
not a
and
decision.
Again, it's the language you're doing. You know, it's you try, you know, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, you know, it's kind of vague, but really the proper language is you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, what are
and,
you doing to change it?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, when I was learning coaching, I really, to me, my people quoted me on that, I guess, a little bit, in, at least in the healthcare setting, that taking a holistic approach to things is just taking a quarter turn. It's really not changing a
mm-hmm.
lot. It's just changing the angle at which you approach or that you look at things or even look at yourself. We are very hard on ourselves, generally speaking. You know, I can look in the mirror and say, wow, you know, I gained so much weight, or I, you know, look so different, not what I expected. But if you just take a quarter turn and say, isn't it amazing to be here? I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm here, in my opinion, if I'm here, I have so much work still to do. And it isn't work like work, like it's a bad thing. It's work that we've been given an opportunity. I think after, especially after a certain age, you have something to share no matter what you've been through. There's probably somebody out there that needs to hear it or what you have to say about it, let alone all the skills that we've learned along the way. So
absolutely.
When I started my business, I really felt like I just could not do it. I have to do it. I have so much to share.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the hardest part for us usually in the fields that we are in is how to make money. I think that really becomes an issue. But there's a lot of help. There's a lot of support for that because we have to learn how to shift gears and take that quarter turn and say, this is definitely a business, but it still feels good to do it.
Exactly. And when you feel good, you make wonderful decisions. What drew me to holistic nursing is, you know, you're finding the root cause of what's going on with you. You know, when you can finally dive deep down and do holistically things that you can, you know, when medicine, and there's all kinds of medicine, even food, you know, when you can find a holistic approach to things, it's even better. It's fascinating, sure, but finding the root cause to why your body is responding this way, why the energy is that way, you know, that's wonderful. And we can make so many great decisions that way.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. And there are just so many ways to get started now that we're having a bigger conversation. You know, I guess the word I want to use is more mainstream. We're really,
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, I did a conference back in the spring, and it was a healthcare burnout symposium, and they telecast in the one of the government officials on like health and healing services, a doctor, and
mm-hmm.
he said, if I could paraphrase, I guess, we always knew healthcare had a burnout problem, but the pandemic cracked it open so everyone could see in. And that statement
mm-hmm.
is true, but the after effect is we all get to talk about it out loud now. We all get to talk about trauma and pain and compassion out loud instead of in
mm-hmm.
our corners where we know things, but we can't always talk to all the all the people, because not everybody will agree with you. Now, there are some folks out there who are still going through spiritual transformation, and I've known some and I've seen some that are kind of almost denouncing, like, energy work and things like that, like they're separating it again. And I think that's just the pattern that we go through. You know, when healthcare started, when physicians became physicians way back, allopathic medicine, Western medicine, you know, they kind of just focused on the body, you know, pathophysiology and anatomy and pharmacology. And they cut out the mind and the spirit part of the mind-body-spirit triad. But over time, you have these kind of shifts up and down, where we bring it back and then it falls away. We bring it back and it falls away. And so I think there's just a certain amount of people out there that are going to cling to what feels best to them. And for some people, that may be their religion or their spiritual vessel, and they don't want to talk about the other stuff. And so that's what's good for them. I always say that, like, it's not, even when I was an administrator in a hospital, you know, when I interviewed for the holistic nurse job, an interviewing me said, do you think that healing touch is the only modality for everyone? And I said, no, absolutely not. You can't possibly do that.
That's one modality of many. You're right.
I mean, you could argue that most of the different modalities probably all come from the same thought process originally. You know, the energetic system, your meridian system or your chakra system. That's, you know, somewhat, you could probably connect them, but that's not the point. The point is that there are many, many opportunities to access what you need. And it's not the same as medicine, and it's not the same as psychology. You know, it's just not. Our healthcare systems are really opening up to all the possibilities, because there's so much need that there's not a way to not do it. People demand to be helped. And, you know, if you want to go into the full-blown approach, is that we really have to offer something, because not everybody has access outside of work. They just don't have access outside of work. That's part of my mission anyway, is really helping leadership in any organization to understand that having an app or having a counselor you can make an appointment with are two great resources, but they don't come to the person at their workspace. And wherever you work, it doesn't matter if it's healthcare or not, there should be opportunities in the workspace. So the big problem with that is that it's an expense, and we're already tapped for money and budgets and such. And so the answer is really training. And so that's where I'm focusing, is really training people to take care of each other.
That's huge.
A bigger mission of mine is having a culture of compassion, where the people who came to work there were driven by compassion in the first place. So, you know, they came in with a full cup. They were brimming over with compassion. They had made all these arrangements in their lives to train and to get into a place where they thought it was a great place to share their skill with the art of compassion. And now they're walking around with empty buckets. They're carrying these empty buckets around going, I'm still here, but my bucket's empty of compassion because I'm burnt. I'm done. I don't know how. Where'd my compassion go? I don't know where the faucet is. How do I do it now? They just don't have the tools to do it.
Right.
So that's the way I see it anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way to look at it, and that's deep leadership that you're doing. And it's making a big difference, and I'm loving every minute of it. That's great.
I'm excited. I think that all my experiences were privileges, and I couldn't see why I would want to do anything else, because my hope is that somebody listens. And I know there are stuff going on, you know, that's bigger than me as an individual. There are associations, and there are people trying to put things together. But mm-hmm. I like to keep it simple. I like to keep it simple because it shouldn't be hard.
That's right. Simple is good. We make it hard. You know, people out in humanity make it hard. But I love, you know, that you have such passion to, you know, help people, and that you just kept going. And, you know, it's an inspiration to work with people and help people and get them healthy. It's important.
Well, the other thing is that being a nurse and an entrepreneur now, you can label me that, I see the struggle and the difference in my lifestyle and choices and things that I have to do. And I also see healthcare bleeding nurses. Nurses are just mm-hmm. leaving, and they're saying, I don't want to be a nurse anymore. I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to be a coach. I want to be this or that, which is great for a certain percentage of them. But there's going to be a certain percentage who are embarking on something just to get away from something else, and it isn't the best choice for them. So I have a real deep need to try to help people make a better decision. And part of that is falling back in love with what their field is before they leave. At least give it a chance and
right.
take care of the people who are still there. Because up until recently, I would say the last 6 months or so, most of the articles that I could find about healthcare and nursing would always be about staffing. You know, how are we going to get more nurses? How are we going to train more nurses? How are we going to hire more people? I talked with a nurse the other day who said her hospital up in northern United States, northeast United States, her hospital had 75% travelers were the nurses. 75%. So we've gone all the way across the board from using travelers and as-needed folks to fill the gap to having them as, in this particular place, the majority of the staff, which makes it a transient location. And that doesn't build much of a foundation for the people who are there all the time. So
mm-hmm.
it makes them maybe not as engaged. You know, how would you feel if most of the people you worked with only worked with you for 13, 15 weeks and then left? It's a whole different culture. So bringing people back together, no matter what it is, really, is,
mm-hmm.
is a big goal. And having them really fall in love with their job again, their career, their path, or be the influencer that wants to help other people do the same, I think that's really important. Because we went through a disconnect, all of us, to some degree. I think everybody did. And so now it's that, what do you do with that now? You know, are you, you know, what personality type are you? Are you the healer giver who's going to try to help everybody else? Or are you the achiever who's going to try to rebuild the system all by yourself? You know, which one are you? And how can we keep it together rather than letting it shatter completely and dissolve all together and then try to rebuild it?
Right.
So like I said, there's a lot of work to do. It doesn't
Well,
stop.
There's a lot of work to do, and it's a great thing to be a part of, you know, to have that work there that you can just naturally do.
Right.
Yeah, you know, keeping people together is very important. and keeping everything balanced, including yourself, you know, it takes a lot of work to be, you know, in that field and, you know, have things grounded and positioned where you're feeling you're getting enough too. But I mean, you know, I feel like you get great pleasure out of doing that kind of work.
I do, and I want to help other people. So I don't know how many healthcare folks listen to your show. I would definitely encourage them to seek out people like me to help them to clarify, ask questions, dump out all their emotions, whatever it is they need to do, because we all have to find our new starting point. The worst thing that can happen is we continue to run the same thing over and over again and not get anywhere in anything that we do, but especially when you're, you know, you go back to your next shift, whatever it might be, and you haven't kind of cleared out, you haven't grounded, you haven't reset, that just gets so heavy over time, and it's so devastating.
Yeah. And I believe you have to reset in order to get, you know, to feel grounded, to feel wonderful. You know, it's important you reset yourself too.
Yeah. And it's not a new thing. I mean, there were people, I remember back before I had any kind of extra training, I guess you would call it, I worked with a nurse who just complained every night. We were on night shift. She complained. She was there for a very long time, a lot longer than me in this particular area that we were nursing. And she would complain and complain and complain and complain. And I said, hey, you know, I noticed that it seems like you're really unhappy here. And you've been here a long time, so you know exactly what to expect. Like, it's these type of patients that are always going to be here. Have you ever considered switching units? And she was, you know, my elder, and she said, oh, this is where I've always worked. Oh, you know. And so about a month later, she left. And I found out she went from, we were on a med-surg tele floor, she went to a palliative care floor. So one night I said I was going to go take a break, and I walked over a couple buildings over to the palliative unit to see if she was there. And she was there. And she looked at me, she watched me walk up the hall, and then she goes, thank you. And I said, oh, what did I do? I just came to see how you're doing. She goes, thank you for giving me permission to leave. I didn't give her permission, because what we do is we do the same thing over and over again. You know, somebody thinks that that's what they're supposed to do, and that's what they'll do. We all do it to some degree. But she was able to just switch units, switch patient populations, and she was much happier. And, you know, a lot of times it's a hospital or an employer that we work for. We think, oh, I have to stay here. It's the best, or it's the number one, or it's the number two, or it's the best in my area. Those things are limiting. And it's good to open up, take a look around, and see what the other opportunities are. But we won't do that if we just stay focused on one thing.
That's so true. Because if you keep yourself on one thing, you'll never know, you know, what the other things could bring.
Right. Opportunities.
And great opportunities that, you know, you don't know about until you get there.
Sure. Sure. I think that it's interesting, you know, we met at a Healing Touch course. One of my groups that I belong to, the Holistic Nurses of Nevada, gal who started an online chapter, they're Healing Touch strong. And actually, some of the hospitals have now funded their a nurse or a couple people to become instructors so that they can teach more nurses in the hospital. And I love that, because it just shows that the engagement has gone from just a conversation to let's invest in that. I think when I was able to do it a long time ago, and like I said, in 2009, I was a full-time holistic nurse, and then after that, the leader of that part of the program. And there was investment with curiosity. But now I think they're really understanding that unless you keep training people, you're not going to get that longevity. You're not going to get that investment because the only way to shift culture is not to have more people doing it.
That I agree with, yeah. It's people learning.
Yeah. So I don't think it matters. I know not everybody that listens to your show is in healthcare, so this has been kind of a healthcare-heavy conversation, but it doesn't matter. I've done conversations with big corporations, banks. It doesn't matter. It's everybody experienced the same thing. And so there's opportunity everywhere. If you work in big corporate, if you work in tech, if you work in real estate, anything, there's opportunity everywhere because most people have not completely dealt with their feelings, their belief systems, and their experiences from the past few years. And we're looking, we're looking for how to deal with it. And I think it's a great time to start offering and having conversations with leaders because the leaders are the ones who set the foundation of the culture of their workplace. And if the leaders just offer something up and walk away, it's not as transparent. It's not as meaningful to the people they lead.
That's true. I think we have decisions. Yep, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, I could talk about it forever because I guess I have perspective. And I just want people to be fearless. If they can just be fearless and not worry about what anybody thinks, because there's a ridiculousness going on everywhere, on the internet, social media, conversations, television, whatever. There's ridiculousness everywhere. So so you're not that strange. You're not that strange, and you're not something that's, going to be waved away. I think people are really ready to listen because you're willing to help.
Yeah, they are. And I think we have to just be in that energy.
I mean,
it's like what we think about, what we put out there, leaders being, like you said, it's your thought process and what you put out there that's, going to manifest what you create. So and I think that the holistic, world is wonderful. I mean, all these things that you've shared are just, it's good to know these things.
Well, I think that the more we talk about it, the more people understand, and the way we describe things or define things is going to be helpful. The worst thing that can happen is someone says, "No, that's not for me," and then you say, "Well, tell me about what is," and sometimes you can find a common ground. Because what's not for me or what's not for you may not matter because you're leading 1,000 people or 10,000 people and they all have different ideas about what's for them. And I see things varied from compassionate listeners to people that do all kinds of wonderful, more intense things. And sometimes you just need to be introduced to the idea of self-care rather than, I think one of the biggest, I worked with a lot of chaplains, and I remember going to see a patient in a room, and they said, oh, you're here for my dad. I'm his chaplain, and because I'm a person of faith, a leader of faith. And I said, great. I said, so who's taking care of you? And he said, what do you mean? He goes, I'm a chaplain. I said, well, yeah, but we can't always be our own chaplain. We can't always be our own doctor.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. And, who's taking care of that person? Mm-hmm.
Right. He never thought of it. He never thought of it like, oh, I probably need someone to help me. Now, most people, in professions have a mentor or something. So he may have just been so stressed he wasn't thinking about it. But it does bring up the subject. You know, we just because the word self-care has the word self in it doesn't mean it always has to be you that does the work. It just has to be you that seeks the support. And then you might find something you can do that works for you.
Right. But it's important to have that, that mentor that helps, the therapist or the chaplain. Like you said, they need the mentor helper too to help them.
Yeah. Yeah. And it could just be like this, a conversation. You have that friend that you haven't talked to in a really long time, but when you do talk to them, it's like you just talked yesterday.
Yeah, that's true.
That's that connection that you can trust. And the more you can find that, and kind of weed out the noise of all the other stuff going on, then the more you can focus on what's really important versus all this other stuff that's going on that may or may not serve you. That's one of the things I learned through all of this training that I've had, lots and lots of training. One of the things that always stood out was to embrace only what, and that could be different every day.
If yeah,
it's music or television, anything. Yeah. Go ahead.
It could be a different thing every day. I mean, it could, like you said, music, TV, radio, it's all just, different. It's different things.
It is. And like I said, that's why we're in a place where we call it paradise. We say we moved to paradise. And one of the things I always say is that I live in a place where I see a butterfly every day. And growing up, butterfly season was very limited. And I guess they're still kind of magical to me in my older years. To me, it's an important, small, minor piece of my life that serves me. And it makes me smile. And, that's a whole other conversation. But as soon as you smile, you release endorphins and you feel better and things change, even if you're faking it. So, if that's
right.
All you can get through today,
sometimes you have
do
to
that.
Get through, sometimes you have to get through smiling to make it just to, get there, even if you're faking it to make it.
Right. That's right. It's a whole body
you do get there.
Connection. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And, some of us can figure it out, but, there are days that are harder than others for everybody, but you got to have your little tool bag always in your head somewhere that you can go to, because it doesn't matter where you are or who you're with. There's things that you can do to at least get to the next step.
Absolutely. So do you want to take some of these callers that are in here? We have a couple of people that raised their hands that I guess want to talk or have questions.
Sure, why not? Let's go.
All right, we're going to go to area code 610. You're on the line with Amanda and Barbie. How are you today? I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. What can we help you with?
Yeah, I'm just calling about an issue that I have presently. You know, my partner of 8 years, we're splitting up because she wasn't faithful. And she's still living in the same household. But, you know, it's really difficult. And she acknowledged that she did mess up. But, you know, clearly doesn't want to fix this. And she's still very much in communication with the other person. But this has been very difficult on my part. She said she is remorseful. She feels like crap over everything that happened and wants to, like, disappear. I'm like, what about me, you know? I feel awful, too. But to the point where, you know, doing things on a daily basis and I have to push myself. So I don't know what you guys are picking up about this whole situation.
So what are you really wanting to know about this? Like, you know, what's your question?
I guess, how do you see things unfolding in this situation for me?
Do you have any feedback on that, Barbie?
Well, it would appear that, of course, you have some grief over the situation, which is completely expected. And having the day-to-day contact, of course, will cause, you know, an open wound to stay open. The conversation we just had about, you know, doing what serves you may be really poignant for you. It feels like to me that you're at a standstill, that you both are kind of in your spot and there's nothing that's seriously changing, like actionable items changing. So, you know, on the action side of things, I guess you'll have to decide what your next steps are in your relationship. And how that unfolds will be dependent upon both of you. One, to make a decision if this is the right for you and if you can forgive. And two, the two of you will have to decide if this is the right step to continue the relationship or not and what will be needed to do that. So I feel like you are at a point where, you know, when you first started describing it, you're splitting up. And so when you're in the middle of splitting up, that's a very difficult place to be. For me, I would focus, if, you know, from your perspective, focus on you and what it is that you want. And
yeah, you have to focus your needs on what you want. I agree, and take care. It's like a self-care. It's back to the self-care again, taking care of you. And I agree with what she said. It's kind of what we talked about earlier. Sorry to interrupt, Barbie. Go ahead.
Well, that's great. I think that it's a hard place to be, though. So you're going to have lots of different things going on, like dates, like where am I going to live or where are you going to go or, you know, how does, if there's a financial attachment, all those things, because we've been together for quite a while. And so the work that you will have to do is making decisions. And those decisions can be based on, you know, you could separate them between your heart and your head, because that's what we have to do. And your heart may have a lot more to say about it right now, but in order to get your heart healed, your head has to make some decisions, logical things that are the whatever serves you best. And so if you have any experience with mindfulness, one of the mindfulness John Cabot Zinn. You can look him up on YouTube. He goes over like 9 different aspects of mindfulness. But one of them is being non-judgmental, which is very hard in your situation. But if you can take a step back and leave judgment out of it for a minute and think about what's best for you and only what's best for you, you will probably find some clarity on what will work. Because I don't know all your other pieces, you know, the day-to-day pieces. It's complicated, but if you start putting yourself first in every decision that you make, you'll start to get more clear on what it is that you need to do and what decisions that you need to make.
Absolutely. A clear, free mind is what I heard. You know, meditation will bring you the answers you need. So just focus on self-care right now for you. I want to thank you for calling. Blessings. Okay, our next caller is area code 415. You're on the line with Amanda and Barbie. How are you?
Hi, Barbie and Amanda. This is Siobhan Cunningham calling in. I wanted to know, as a healer, when did you start seeing energy, Barbie?
For me, when I took Healing Touch Level 1, I had a lot of revelations that I had already been doing this stuff most of my life.
Right.
And I think that those of us that are kind of generous with ourselves probably know that, but I just didn't have a definition for it. And so
Right. This
was about 2003. So I've been in healthcare since I was 1988. So, I mean, it wasn't like a new experience for me, but the building the foundation. So even in my very first class, I realized that I could see more than what I had really let myself understand up until then. And to be honest, I think in my 20s, I really tried to shut it off because I didn't understand it at all. And so it's really about kind of what you decide you want to use. Mm-hmm. And if it's important for you to see or not. And, of course, your environment may or may not allow you to kind of share that. And so when I work with someone and I see things, you know, like in their energy, I just ask questions about it instead of saying, hey, I saw this, you know, or I smelled this. You know, I'll say, hey, can you tell me about, you know, whatever, that I might be experiencing, and usually they'll somehow connect with that. They'll be aware of it.
And does it help release blocks?
I think it does because you're getting deeper. So, for instance, if you do Reiki or Healing Touch, you can go, you can walk through a sequence of hand movements or positions, and you know from what you've learned. I mean, I worked with a guy who did Healing Touch who never felt a thing. His name was Jim. He passed away since then. But he told me, he said, I don't feel anything when I do Healing Touch, but it seems to help people, so I just keep doing it. So he had none of that. He had no feelings. He didn't see anything. He just did the work, and it helped people. So I think that the lesson there is that you don't have to.
Right.
Even if you have it, you don't have to share it. You can just be curious.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was wondering, you're coming from such a scientific background, you know, as a nurse.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, right away when I was able to do energy work in the hospital, and most of my colleagues in hospitals would agree with me, I think, we didn't use pendulums. Even though you learn how to use pendulums in Healing Touch, we just didn't use pendulums because it's a little too much for the science world, even if we can prove it. It scares people.
Yeah. Yeah. They start thinking you're doing voodoo or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So you want to keep it, you know, you don't have to use everything in the toolbox. I found that I got a lot of flack from one of my colleagues who did healing touch, who was like, you're not doing whole techniques. And I'm like, well, if you use your common sense, people are so depleted when they're a patient or they're right. ill, the whole technique may not be appropriate.
Right.
So 5 to 10 minutes often was the extent of any energy work that I ever did with a patient in a hospital bed. And a lot of people disagree, but it was enough for that person. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. So now that you are in the retirement community, when I heard your age, I was like, what are they doing there? Except you're just setting yourself up for your future because you're so young, right? And I have heard this before. So do people respond better, or do you watch how much time you do when you're working on a sick person? Because I do know it affects the elderly, especially if they're quite ill, you know?
Yeah, well, if you learn like a technique like healing touch, so you assess someone's mm-hmm. field, regardless of their size, age, any illness, whatever, you're assessing their field as best as you can in the time frame that
right.
you have. And
right.
and most of the time when people are ill, they're very close. Like they don't have a big, giant, puffy field of energy or interpersonal space, whatever you want to call it. You can get
right.
really close to them before you feel anything if you
right.
feel. So the assumption is that less is good. Unless they're asking you for more.
Yeah, well, their
and
body.
So,
it's funny. I know people who use pendulums. My cousin believes that nothing can be done without a pendulum. She's been a healer for longer than I've been alive. And mine was just using my hands. I would just skim over because I was a massage therapist. And
mm-hmm.
but I've been doing fun healing since I was 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that something would talk to me in the body when I put my hands near it. So I was wondering, how hard was that for you to transition? Or was it just because you were a nurse and your hands were always on them? Did it start to happen before you were aware of it?
Yeah, it did. And it would freak me out sometimes because
I would call
doctors, you know, in the middle, you know, residents, you know, I was in a big place. So I could call residents if they were there. I'd say, hey, can you come look at like Mr. Jones or whatever? Like, well, what's going on? I'm like, you know, I mean, the vitals look okay, but there's something going on. And, like, I didn't know that I was, like, picking up on stuff. And I guess you would call it energetically.
Yeah.
What? Would I get what?
I would get the doctor's plot, you know, with my father. Like, they would just stare at you.
Yeah.
You know, one asked me, did I see a psychiatrist? And I asked him, what made you say that? He said, well, you're just, you know, I'm looking at his vitals. I go, I wouldn't count on those babies right now, you know, because I knew to heal him, feel better, but I knew not to heal him ridiculously, like send a ton of energy into him because it could also make him get super sick, you know.
Yeah, I think that's the thing is you stick with, unless somebody asked me to do something else, my mind, you know, sending or channeling was whatever was there for their highest good. So if their name was Shirley, it was for the highest good of Shirley. And that way I wasn't feeling like I was
mm-hmm.
forcing anything. And with Reiki, you know, Reiki, you let the Reiki go where it's needed. It's the same thing, I think, with any energy work. You just come up with your baseline intention unless they give you another intention. So some people would say, I want you to, your intention to be X. Okay, well, then I'll do that. But otherwise, it was always for their highest good. And that way, there was really no chance that it was going to be something too much for them. And my thing with training, I trained a lot of nurses for this type of work. And I would say, even if you learned that you're supposed to close your eyes, don't close your eyes.
Right.
I would always watch the person that you're working on. I really believe that's true across the board. You really have to watch the person for their body language so that you understand if you need to back off.
Yeah, and my I would see people go into a state of bliss. They would come out and tell me things that just blew me away. I was in this other I'm like, really? All I felt was all this warm healing going into your body. And they say, thank you so much for sending all that cold healing into my body. It really took the swelling down of my hips. And my hands are sweating. I'm sweating. And I'm all, that's great. You know, and you just don't understand it. But it's, you know, it's that other part of the world.
In the retirement community thing, we got here, you know, and 20% of any 55 and over community, at least in Florida, I think there's a law or something that says that 20% can be or should be younger. So that's okay. I'll be 55 this year. So, you know, I was close. But my husband's a little younger. But it does set us up for the future because of the expense. You know, it worked out expense-wise. It also gave us a lot of amenities that we wanted that we didn't really want to take care of ourselves, like a pool, hot tub, stuff like that.
But lovely.
I did a little bit of talking about self-care when one of our club members for this exercise club was out of town, and they really responded well to me. I was mild. You know, I did some tapping, some meridian work, and some breathing exercises. The biggest pushback I got was that abdominal breathing didn't make any sense to them because they've always been taught to suck it in. And so the one lady was like, I am not pushing out my abdomen. I've been taught to suck it in my whole life, you know, and so that was cute.
I understand that she would create a muscle to pull it in automatically.
Right. You know, so it was cute. But there are a lot of people who wanted to get a hug, which, honestly, it's been so long. It's been so long because nobody wants to touch each other, right, in public.
Right.
And so I was like, absolutely. And I remembered that in the hospital, even, you know, when we were doing holistic nursing, our roles, you know, people wanted a hug sometimes. But there was not a lot of support for that at that time even, you know, that, you know, maybe you shouldn't be doing that or, you know, there's all kinds of question marks. People,
I had doctors zoom me and say, I said, I think I have sinusitis. It's pretty bad. I need to be seen. And they're like, I'm not going to see you. They just would not, you know, in California, they would not do it. They're like, sorry, no one's going to see you right now. That wasn't the case, but those were the doctors at the time, you know. And this was year of COVID. I'm like, I don't have COVID, but I cannot breathe, and I'm having a really bad time. And when they saw me at the end of it, 4 months later, they were like, oh, my God, how did you survive? I go, I don't know. It wasn't any help from my doctor. And I could tell my doctor was like, listen, I plan on surviving this. Good luck to you. You know?
Yeah.
And so I haven't seen the doctors here reconnected yet. They're very standoffish. You know, you can
have
a UTI.
That's because nobody's saying you can. There's no permission slip for, you know, for lack of a better explanation.
Right. And, you know, you're going to do an exam. I'm here with a mask. What's the problem? Do the exam. They don't want to touch you, you know. And that's, to me, I'm like, why did you become a doctor? You know?
Well, and that's the thing. It is, I moved a lot. So in 2021, we moved from Ohio to Charlotte, North Carolina, and then we moved to Jacksonville, Florida, and now we're near St. Augustine. So in 2 years, I moved 3 times. So I had the same doctor for 25 years in Ohio. So I've gotten the healthcare immersion experience post-COVID. It's been awful. You're right.
Yeah.
I don't think I've had one full body exam yet from anybody.
Yeah.
And it's very hard because I came from a world-class place. And I don't know. I'm, you know, finding that either I'm turning into that person that I never really loved who doesn't trust the doctor. I love it's like my field, you know. So it's hard because, I definitely see the difference in practice. And I don't think they're doing it consciously, though, I have to say, in their defense. I think that it's very unconscious behavior, and we have created new limiting beliefs across the board in our society. And some people, like the people in my neighborhood who are 10 or 20 years older than me, they didn't buy into that. They didn't buy into that at all. there's only a small percentage.
Yeah, well,
they
maybe
still believe in touching and hugging.
Right. And maybe you'll be part of that holistic community that makes your mark in the retirement community. Like, your business will grow there exponentially. And also, because you have the scientific background and because you have such a holistic healing gift, that you'll be able to balance it and show people either or can work in certain situations. You know?
Yeah.
If you're not getting
peace,
maybe that's not what you need. You need a healing, you know. I get to a point where I would get to somebody's back and I'd say, oh, hey, what's going on here? And the back would say, there's a pinched nerve here. You need to tell them to go to the doctor after this. And I would say
that's
to them, I would say to them, your hip is hurting. So what I would do is I would loosen all the muscles around that I knew were tightening on it. And then I'd say, you probably should go to your chiropractor or your, if they had one, or your doctor, because I think you got a pinched nerve here. And every time, you know, like their body would speak to me and I'd feel like, this is good. My holistic helped them go get the help they needed. And that's where I felt helpful. You know?
Yeah, and it's definitely a conduit to whatever is needed. I think that's why we were able to do it at such a big hospital, is because we weren't there to replace anything. We were there to complement the healthcare plan. Or I would say, you already have a great team of doctors and nurses. We're just here to address anything that they haven't.
To see a doctor do Reiki on anyone.
Well, me too.
Not that they act, they can't. But I just haven't seen it. You probably have.
I've seen lots of doctors receive Reiki. I have doctors, pharmacists in my aromatherapy classes all the time. And psychiatrists. They can use it like medicine a little differently. It just depends on the system. There are some hospital systems that have physician's orders for aromatherapy now, which is great. And it also opens the door to lots of other things. I always say that our VA hospitals are ahead of most everybody else most of the time. And they have been working on a whole health program for veterans and now employees for quite a while. And they're incorporating aromatherapy. They're incorporating Reiki now. Hypnotherapy, and they've been using massage and auricular acupuncture for a long time. And so you have somebody setting the stage for everybody else.
Well, I wish you luck, and I thank you for sharing your time with me. I'll get off because I'm sure there's other callers.
Thank you, Siobhan. Good luck with
Thanks,
your practice.
Blessing.
You too. Thank you. Blessing.
Okay,
thank
our
you.
Next caller is 310. You're on the line with Amanda and Barbie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you ladies doing?
Great.
Doing well. How can we help you?
Well, this is Vince. I'm calling from New York. I just started a job a couple weeks ago that I really hate. It's unfortunate that I'm working for the owner of the company who have to be Elon Musk. I'm working in one of his new warehouses, and I really despise it, but I'm waiting to hear from a can company that I applied for about a month and a half ago. I spoke with the HR person last week, and she said to be patient because they're understaffed right now. And she's doing two different jobs at this point herself. So she said that as soon as they get the chance and get the dates set, she'll call me. So I'm wondering if it's going to come through and if I'm going to finally get my foot in the door in this job.
Okay. Do you have any input on that, Barbie?
Well, the non-intuitive piece, I will tell you that they are taking forever to do HR stuff everywhere. So I think the person who talked to you is probably telling you the truth. I feel like there's a real problem in communication with applicants, and your best bet is to continue to keep the line of communication open, whatever that looks like for you. The other thing I feel like asking you is, why do you despise the job that you have now?
Well, it's not the kind of job that I like doing. One of my biggest issues, see, I've always worked in production industry, like I've worked at Coke and Pepsi and just manufacturing. I've worked for a couple of breweries. And so that's what I'm used to. I'm used to working in the manufacturing part. But what they want us to do in warehouses, not only are we unloading stuff, but now they want everyone trained on doing these forklifts that go, like, you know, right up to the ceiling, which is like, you know, over 100 feet. And I just don't like doing that, but I'm not going to have a choice. And, you know, packing everything too to ship, which are two of my weaknesses. And there's just a lot of things that I just don't like about the job. People there are nice. The management's nice too, but it's just not my thing. I go into work every day reluctantly, you know, and I do what's asked of me, but my heart's just not in it. And then on top of that, you know, I'm making okay money. I'm afraid of losing my car too, because I've been out of work for so long, and jobs that I've had, I haven't had enough money to make my car payments, but I had money in the bank enough to last the rest of this year. And then I don't know what I'm going to do. So I'm going to have to start just putting aside money every week just to put in my bank accounts to keep my car payments. And I'm scared to death about losing my car, getting it repoed and everything. So I'm hoping that if this job at the can place comes through, I'll be able to work a lot of overtime that I want to, and it's going to be a perfect fit for me, something that I've always done in my life. And this company, they make cans for, like, the soda companies and the breweries and whatnot. That's their main focus. So, you know, and it is good money, and it's just where my heart is. So I'm just hoping that they call me soon. So
if I was you, I would start to whatever way you like to do it, either speaking it, writing it, typing it, and just manifest already happened. I think that you're going to have to wait. I think you're going to have to wait because it's just slow. But I think in the meantime, you should change your perspective so that you feel better. And in a way to do that is to start saying, I'm really excited about my new job that I just got at the can factory, or whatever the name is. I'm very grateful that I'm going to be abundant when I start my new job that I already got at this place. And just start reading it, writing it as much as you can stand it, because then you're putting it into the now. And it's already happened. So as I can tell, it's just a technicality. They have a backup, and they're trying to put together their training program because they don't know who's going to train you because they don't have enough people to make the plan. So the gal that you talked to on the phone, if you have her name, you might want to put her name in it and say, you know, X, whatever her name is getting clarity, and she's getting – the time to put together my orientation for my new job that I just got.
Yeah, in fact, what I did was this morning I emailed the plant manager, supervisor, just wishing them a happy Thanksgiving. So I haven't heard from him yet.
So just
keeping up on stuff and making sure that they know I'm really interested. The one thing they liked about me is he said that, other than my experience, he said that when I was interviewing him, and he informed me that he's the plant supervisor and manager for all shifts. So at nighttime, on a night shift, and there's nobody there to oversee things. So he has to put his faith in his workers. So I said to him, well, you know what? With the job that I'm going to be doing, I wouldn't mind having extra training and being a lead. So if you put me on nights, you will have someone like I wouldn't mind being like an assistant to you. So if anything goes wrong, I know how to handle things. So I know I have great people skills and I can read people well. And I can talk to people really well. So, so I put that out there and he was really impressed with that.
Well, that's good. I'm sure that's going to come through for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. So, okay. Well,
hang in there.
We'll
be sending you light. Thank you for calling. Blessings.
Thank you and have a great
day. You too.
Our next caller is 651 area code. You're on the line with Amanda and Barbie. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good. This is Christiana calling from Minnesota.
Good. What can we do for you today, or how can we help you?
Well, I was just calling for a reading. I'm wondering about pregnancy, like around when do you think I'd conceive, or have I already conceived a baby, or what?
Looks like you're going to manifest and conceive from what I'm seeing. And the main thing there is to take really good care of yourself. You know, basically what we talked about together, you know, self-care. And that's what I'm seeing. So you're about to. You're not there yet, but you're going to, is what I've gotten for you.
Okay.
Did you want to add anything, Barbie?
I think the only thing I can add is if you have any fears, or hesitations, to make sure you clear those and be welcoming. So, for instance, if you feel afraid of any part of pregnancy or parenting, then on that, making it a transition to a more positive thought process, and that becomes a more welcoming environment for the pregnancy.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next caller is area code 612. You're on the line with Amanda and Barbie. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much. My name is Kathy. Barbie, I guess I would like to kind of ask you if you pick up on anything where you kind of think my talents lie and what I could look at be doing. I'm working on some ideas, but I'm just not real clear yet on how it would manifest. So I just wanted to know what you might be picking up.
Well, can you tell me a little bit more about you in general?
Well, right now I'm doing a lot of healing. I've been through a tremendous amount of things, surgeries, and it's been a little frustrating because I felt like maybe Spirit has a plan for me, but it's just been real hard to get there. A lot of setbacks. I had to get divorced just because we were growing apart. It wasn't comfortable anymore. Just a little bit of frustration. Like I'm just kind of working on steps right now. I'm not, near where I probably should be, but just kind of wondering what you might be picking up if I'm kind of on the right train of thought as I'm thinking.
Yeah. So what I'm picking up is progress, not perfection. That phrase
right.
comes to me. Yeah. So waiting until everything's right may not be the correct path for you. Taking what you already have and starting to initialize something maybe more the course. Meaning, if you're working on something and you have an idea or you want to develop an idea and you if it's a business kind of thing, then you want to start doing the groundwork now. Don't wait. You don't need another certificate or education or whatever. You need probably a mentor or a schematic, to follow, like step one, step two, step three. If it's a business idea, then I suggest you do the market research, which just means look around and see if anybody else is doing that and what they charge and all that kind of stuff. And the biggest part of having that plan is knowing that there's somebody who needs you. And so go ahead.
I just felt like a lot of things that happened in my life, I was wondering why, and I think it kind of prepared me to be able to help people in some capacity that I would, in other words, instead of judging, have compassion and empathy and all of that for what they've been through, and I could, you know, understand. I'm having a little bit of fear moving forward with some of this. I'm also on a disability, so it puts a crimp on a lot of things. It's just very intricate.
Is the crimp a financial crimp, you mean?
Well, you're allowed only so much on a disability. It's a very involved situation, and
I feel like you need to look into what a nonprofit would do for you versus like a standard LLC or S-Corp. So you might want to do a little work and look at what nonprofits would do for you versus a regular thing, like a regular business.
Okay, and why? I think I know where you're going.
Yeah, because when you, any, you know, kind of business, you have to set up your system of pay. So does the business make the money or do you make the money? Are you an employee of the business? Are you putting the money into a trust? Who owns the trust? There are ways to kind of make that work for you in a different way. I'm not an expert, but I would say to just look into that because
what would be the right type of person to contact?
You can email me and I could probably send you to some, like a business coach, because I'm not that. So, if anybody wants to email me a question, I don't know. Is that okay, Amanda, if I give them my email?
That's great. Yeah.
So it's, barbintegrated-success-solutions. So barb@integrated-success-solutions. .com. And website too. Yeah.
The slash barb, is that like a comma or?
No, a little dash in between each word.
Like a line across.
The only way I could do it. Yeah.
A line across.
A little dash.
Well, I really appreciate what you said. I guess I just need, you know, some direction and a little more help.
I think what you're doing is going to work for you. You just need some clarity on the process to get it started.
You feel like I'm going in the right direction?
Yeah, because your heart's leading you there. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, Andy. Thank you so much.
All right. That was our last caller, Barbie. Thank you for being on the show today. I appreciate it.
No problem. I'm happy to help. I am here to connect people and help them get where they need to go. And I really appreciate you having me on. I'm so excited for your show and all the things that we have to look forward to in the future.
I am too. You want to share your contact info in case people are looking to find you?
Sure. My website is up. It's pretty new, so there's still a little bit of kink, but it's, and my email is barb@integrated-success-solutions.com. And so I'm happy to take a call too. My business number is 440-655-4687. And I can definitely put you on my schedule and talk about what you need and hopefully get you to the right place.
Wonderful. Thank you for being on today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. Blessings, everyone. Have a great day.
Blessings.
break away, so take my hand out.